lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
There is much going on in so-called independent Baptist churches today, so that it's becoming harder and harder to distinguish them from an anything-goes church. Many churches today are places of entertainment. Many pulpits of independent Baptist churches have been reduced to stages to be used for the enjoyment of the people. People in many churches today gather in an auditorium of what used to be called a sanctuary. Many do not gather together for the worship of God or the hearing of His Word, but are there to be entertained. A.W. Tozer put it this way. He said, "The church that cannot worship must be entertained, and leaders who can't lead a church to worship must provide the entertainment." Well, he went on to say, and this is A.W. Tozer speaking, he said, "Worship is no longer worship when it reflects the culture around us more than the Christ within us." Well, I've got news for you. A godly church is a church where people reverence God. A godly church is where people gather their hearts together to worship God in spirit and in truth. It is not supposed to be a place for the tickling of the ears, but is a place where our heart's battery can get a full charge of "Thus saith the Lord." Churches do not need something new or entertaining to get or keep a crowd. And by the way, entertainment will not cause people to be faithful to the Lord. You can call me an old fuddy-duddy, a stick in the mud, or what you will. I will stand on the Word of God and stay on the old paths. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 says this, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Well, in Jude chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we see something that is taking place today. And the book of Jude is likely to have been written to Jewish Christians who had not noticed ungodly persons or simply ungodliness in the church. Well, the purpose in writing the book, that's Jude, is to get saved members of the church to contend for the faith. Now, in that book, we read verses 1 through 3. It says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Mercy unto you, and peace, and love, be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Well, it is evident by the wording that Jude wrote the book. Jude is the author, according to the verse we just read, the verses. And Jude was possibly, some believe, possibly the brother of our Lord. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 55, it says, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas?" Well, Jude in verse 1 tells of his authority. We see this in writing the book. He is the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. When I've just mentioned in Matthew 13:55 about Mary, it says, "Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and we see there was a man by the name of Judas who would be his half-brother. Although we may not be able to prove that the Jude who wrote the book of Jude was the Lord's brother, I believe all evidence points to the fact that the Jude of the book of Jude was an apostle. Now we look in John chapter 14, and we see something else. We see that the verses leading up to John 14, this the Lord's Supper, had just been instituted with the apostle Judas, not Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was not present. John 14:21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Now this is Jesus Christ speaking. Once again, the Lord's Supper, communion with the apostles. Well, notice verses 22 and 23 of John 14. It says, "Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Well, we look at the book of Jude and we try to figure out who he was. Well, the important thing to remember is that God, this is God's word, God breathed. In other words, God is the one who is really the author. Jude would be the one who would be the one responsible to write it down, to let us know what was going on then in the local churches, and now that we are to be on guard, that we are to contend for the faith. Well, notice with me again here now as we look further, the recipients of the letter of Jude. Well, Jude in verse 1 tells of whom he is writing to collectively. It says there, "To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." To them, that would be collectively to people. And then the word "you" in verse 2 speaks to the individual. He said, "Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied." Again, verse 3 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Well, from that verse, notice this. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you." Again, the word "you" in verse 3 speaks to the individual. And we keep reading and we see the word "ye." Again, the word "ye" in verse 3 speaks to the group. Well, so those to whom Jude speaks are those individuals who are part of a group, the local church. Well, now, Jude verses 1 through 3, it talks about the defense of the gospel. Let me read those verses again. "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." We read in those verses the word "needful." The word "needful" here means a sense of urgency. Get it done. And by common salvation is meant the free gift of eternal life that can be had by anyone on earth. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When Jude goes on to stress the importance of earnestly contending for, and this means to struggle or to work hard for, to defend the faith. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 7, "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace." And he goes on to say in verse 17 of Philippians 1, he says, "But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the deliverance of the gospel." We keep reading, and we find that Paul the Apostle was a person who stood for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Old Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. Well, notice 2 Timothy continues, and we read that in 1 Timothy 6, verses 19 and 20. And then we read what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. We keep reading in the Word of God in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. The defense of the gospel is not a middle-of-the-road neutral matter. We must stand for the gospel. All saved church members need to stand up for the gospel, according to Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Now, church members in a local church, let me read verse 3 again, Jude. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Saved members are those who have actually trusted Christ as Savior, who have grown and are growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, it says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Well, we see that there are certain people who make up the local church, church members. First, I've already mentioned the saved people, and then there are baby church members, those who are saved but who haven't grown, they haven't grown up. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Well, these people, those baby Christians, are those who have grown to a point in their Christian life and then have stopped growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And the term baby in Christ not only refers to new converts, it can also refer to someone who has been saved for years. They've stopped growing. They've not stayed in the Word of God. And then there are those unsaved church members. These are those who have been, we see that they have been to a point in their life where they've made a profession of faith in Jesus, but in actuality have never trusted him as Savior. Do you know him today as your Lord and Savior? Then you need to be contending for the faith, as we read of all through the Word of God, especially in Jude chapter 1. There is only one chapter of Jude, but we read in verses 1 through 3. And there are other scriptures that I've gone through. You and I as saved people need to stand for the Word of God, stand for Jesus Christ. And if you're unsaved, you need to turn to Jesus Christ today and ask him into your heart. Lord, I know I can't save myself. I'm turning to you, and I'm asking you to save me, because I need to go to heaven your way.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.